Morning to all. Welcome. It's good to see you. We will be continuing our series that we're doing right now, just up until Tisha B'Av, looking again, maybe in a little bit more depth, at some of the big picture Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issues that we really last covered in detail in 2015, if anyone remembers back that far. So I think they were certainly, it's good to revisit many of them. I'd like to thank our sponsors for the Wednesday morning program, which is dedicated for 2026. As a timely reminder, to please turn off your phones as well. Le'ilu Nishmois, Daniel ben David and Limud bat Avram Strauss, Mordechai ben Moshe and Rezel ben Yosef, bat Yosef Meir Marcus, Zichronam Livracha, the parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. And the Shir is sponsored for the academic year, Le'ilu Nishmas Branda, Brana Bras Brandit, and Zelig ben Kalman Aleim HaShalom. Okay. And if I could please encourage you, as I say, to turn off your phones, and then we can move into the Shir. Okay, I'm trying to hit some of the big picture items, not to get too bogged down in the details, although the details are very interesting, fascinating, and important. I'd like to talk today about the hardest mitzvah of all mitzvahs, which is honoring parents and our relationship with parents and children, because Baruch Hashem, everybody in the world is a child, that's for sure. And thank God many people are parents, and even if they're not parents, they have relationships with the younger generation in different ways. This is central to our relationship with Hashem. We'll see right now. The two relationships which most connect with us in life are the horizontal relationship between man and wife and the vertical relationship between parents and children. And actually, in our spiritual world, in the world of Kabbalah, I'm not getting into deep Kabbalistic ideas today, but in the world of Kabbalah, these two relationships, the vertical and the horizontal, are at the very roots of all of the spiritual potencies that work through the different worlds of Atzilut and Briya, Yetzirah, Asiya, the connection between parents and children, maybe the Sfirot, the Bina, and the Chochma of Abba and Ima, relationship with the children, and also the connection between the male and the female within that system. So we need to look today at the parent-child relationship and quite how central it is to our understanding of life, and indeed of Geula. Let's start with that. Geula, redemption, the very signing off of prophecy in the whole Tanakh. What are the last words that we get from Nevi'im before that finally we become an entirely non-profit organization? How do we do that? Number one, Hine anochi sholech lechem et Eliyah hanavi, says Malachi, I am sending you Eliyah. Let's assume that's Eliyahu as well. Lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora, before the awesome and great day of God, the end of days. What is his job? The very last pasuk in Malachi, the heishiv leiv avot al banim, the leiv banim al avotam. He will return the hearts of the children, their parents, al banim. We have to look at what al means, maybe two, but we'll see in more detail. And the hearts of the children to the parents, pen avor v'hiketi et haaretz, lest if this is not done, the land will be destroyed. Without this relationship between parents and children, this is fundamental to the ongoing the existence of the Jewish world and maybe the world as a whole. What does this word al mean? What are we connecting the children to the parents to the children? I want to give you three pshatim. First of all, the redak says number two. The redak v'heishiv leiv ados habanim kamo im banim. He says al here means im, because the word al usually means on top of. So what does that mean here? It means with. V'chein leiv banim al avotam. So to the hearts of the sons, the children with the parents, kamo im avotam, with their parents. Klomar, what does this mean? Ha'avot v'habanim yachdav. On the same page. Parents with children, children with parents. So often the generation gap makes it extremely difficult for children and parents to have that close connection. That will be rectified at the end of days. Malbin gives another pshat, number three. V'heishivihi, v'hu yashiv et kol ha'olam b'tshuva. The Eliyahu will bring the whole world back to a tshuva, a return to God, maybe a return to the land as well. Ad shehabanim shehutchu mitorat avotehem. He said, what happens to the children? The children are so often estranged from Torah. The parents are frum, and the children are, for whatever reason, many reasons, distant from their parents. Yashiv leiv habanim al avoseihem. He will return those children back to their parents. Lachzor el hadat v'torat avotam. To return to their heritage, to return to their religion, to return to their parents. Ba'al yidei kein yashiv leiv ha'avot al abadim. And through doing that, the parents will be reconciled with the children. That's often the story of Jewish history, where children have assimilated and gone off in their own ways. Rashi brings the opposite pshat. The children are Balei Tshuva, and they're the ones that have to bring the parents back. Very interesting. Look at Rashi. V'heshiv el avotam, what does it mean? They will return to their father. L'hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the father of the child, they return to the great father in Shemaim. Al habanim, what does it mean? Al yedei banim. Al yedei banim. Through the children, the parents will be brought back. Yomel habanim, the Eliyahu will say to the children, derech ahava v'rotzon, in a way which is loving and showing willing. Luchu, go, my children. V'dibru el avoteichem, go back and speak to your parents who are less connected than you. La'achoz b'darchei hamokam, and they will then get the parents to come back to Yiddishkeit. V'chein leiv habanim al avotam, and it goes in both directions. V'kach shamati mishmo shel Rabbi Menachem. Interesting, he puts this in there. What's that? He quotes the source. He doesn't normally quote the source. He likes the pshat. Either he likes the pshat and he wants to quote the source, or he's not sure about the pshat and he says, if you don't like it, it's not mine, but probably the former. But he says it goes in both ways, in both directions. Sometimes the children are connected and the parents are distant. Sometimes the parents are connected and the children are distant. And therefore, we've seen a few different pshatim. The Rav Avadi Mibarat Sanura gives another pshat in number 5, where he brings the Mishnah in Eduyot. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Mekubal Anim, Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai, I have a Masorah, says Rabbi Yeshua from the Rosh Beistin, the Av Beistin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sheshami mi Rabbi, v'Rabba mi Rabbi, Halacha l'Moshe mi Sinai, all the way back into the distant past of the Masorah, She'ein Eliyahu ba l'tamei u'l'taher l'racheik u'l'karev. He's not coming to change everybody's status. Oh, you thought you were Jewish? I've got news for you, you're not Jewish. He's not going to do that. Or you thought you were not Jewish, but you're really Jewish? No, there's a lot of people out there who might be surprised, but he's not coming to tell them that. So what's he coming to do? Rabbi Shimon Omer lahashvot hamachlokas. Eliyahu is coming to resolve machlokas, says the Rav Mivar Tanura. That's what this pasuk in Malachi means. Rabbi Shimon, avot, well, who are the fathers? Elu chachamim, they are the rabbis. Ubanim, and the children, elu hatalmidim. He's going to reconcile the rabbanim to the talmidim, and they will resolve their halachic issues. That's, by the way, why we also call Eliyahu, Eliyahu Hanavi and Eliyahu Hatishbi. They are two different hats that he wears. Certainly, according to the Rambam, Eliyahu Hanavi is the Navi who will resolve issues of fact, questions of metziyut. For example, in halacha, if you find a Shavas Aveda, and you're not able to get it back to the person who it belongs to, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Yehei munachat shiyavu Eliyahu. It should be left aside, put aside until Eliyahu comes. When Eliyahu comes, you'll get it out of the cupboard and you'll say, you know something, perhaps you could just tell me who this belongs to because I've tried to find them and I can't find them. That's a question of facts. And by the way, the post can bring down that if the thing's wearing out or it's going to get lost, so then you make a note in a book that you know will be given to your grandchildren and to their grandchildren, some family heirloom. You make a note of the details found. One, whatever it is, you know, this, that, and the other, in such and such a place, with such and such an amount. And then even if you don't get to meet Eliyahu, your great-grandchildren will get to meet Eliyahu, and they'll say, oh, you know something? I've been waiting for this conversation. But there's also Eliyahu Atishbi. Tishbi, the word teiku in the Gemara is sometimes connected with the expression, Tishbi yitaretz kushot v'abayot. The Tishbi will answer questions of halacha. And that's the hat that he's wearing here. Eliyahu HaTishbi is the Rav, not the prophet. Don't forget the Rambam has a very clear separation of powers. He says if a prophet answers questions of halacha using his or her prophecy hat, they are a Navi Sheker. They have to be put to death because the prophet is not allowed to be also a posek using their prophecy. They have to take off the prophet hat, put on the posek hat, etc. So we see lots of different ways in which the fathers, the parents, and the children are reconnected. And the reason for this, the reason that this is at the root of the final prophecy, God, please God, will let this happen, is because it's so hard. It's such a source of pain to so many families over the generations. And in fact, the Gemara touches on this in number 6. Emi Rabbi Abao, Irimi Abba Bar Kahana. Hishvei Akosav Mitzvah Kala Shebekalois, the Mitzvah Chamur Shebechamuros. The easiest of easy mitzvahs is connected with the hardest of the hardest mitzvahs. Mitzvah Kala Shebekalois, what's the easiest of all mitzvahs? Zeshaluach HaKan, pushing away the mother bird. How easy is that? All you need to do is flick your hand. How easy for a mitzvah to just flick your hand and the mother bird goes away? That's Shiluach HaKan. Mitzvah Chamur Shebechamuros, but the hardest of all difficult mitzvahs, Zekibudav. That's connection with parents. But for both of them, it says v'herachta yamim, you will have life in the world to come. So let's look at kibud av ha'eim and see why this is such a difficult mitzvah, why it's caused so much concern over the years. So first of all, I want to get into the hashkafa of the mitzvah. There are three points in the mitzvah that I want to bring out, which are often confused, and which is some of the reasons why this can go wrong. There are many reasons why it goes wrong, but these hashkafas are important. Let's look at, first of all, number 7. This is the first hashkafic point. Let's bring the Sefer HaChinuch. Misharshei mitzvah zo. The roots of this mitzvah, Shira'ui lo la'adam sheyakir v'yigmol chesed l'misha ase imo tovah. That your parents, the parents, they brought you into this world and they did so much for you. The least we can do is recognize that. Be makir tov. V'lo yeh naval, don't be such an ingrate, a lowlife, or mitnaker, and a stranger, v'kafui tova, and deny that good that the parents did. Shizom midara'am, this is a terrible thing to be such an ungrateful person. And not just in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of humans, morally, ethically, this is something which a person must not be. V'sheyitin aliboy, and he says specifically, think about the following. Ki ha'av ha'eim ha'ein sibat ha'yoto ba'olam. Maybe a person will look at their parents and think, they're not very good parents. Maybe they're not very nice people, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. But at the end of the day, they gave us life. Without them, we just wouldn't exist. And for most of us, we prefer to exist than to not exist. And therefore, we owe them that at the very least. Where do you set the line on what you give to someone who gave you life itself? And anything you can possibly do. They brought you into the world. And think what they did for you when you were a baby. Yeah, we all remember what our parents said to us when we were teenagers or young, but we don't remember all the diapers that they changed and all the nights that they never slept, etc. Well, if you have your own children, then you get a little bit of a feel for that. But we don't remember all of that. And here's the key. Ukashiyikva zota mida benafsho. And when you get this clear in your head, and that's how you treat your parents, yale mimedu lahakitova tahail baruchu. It brings you to connection with God. That's the ultimate goal here. It's not, the aim is not just the parents. The parents represent the ones that brought you into the world, and they represent God. The parents are the representation, the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Shehu Sibaso, because he is the reason for our existence. V'siba kol avotei avotav, and all our fathers go back and back and back and back, Adam HaRishon, to the very first human being. U'kashehu tziu la'avir ha'olam, v'sipik tzarkol kol yamav, and every day we wake up in the morning and we have air to breathe, we have limbs that work. V'heimido al matkonto v'shleimut eberav, and we thank God for the ability that we have, whatever abilities we have. V'natan bo nefesh yodatu muskelet, and he gave us a mind. Thank God we're human beings. Because without the mind that God gave us, we might have been a horse. Gepered, we might have been a donkey. Ain havin. I mean, some people do give the impression that they actually are like that. But that's just an impression. Before we even say in the morning, we should say, Shalom Esani Sus. I mean, not really. Please don't make that bracha tomorrow. Because think of all the things we might have been, and we're not. Okay? The Yarach v'machshavto, put in your mind, he says, Kama v'kama ra'oi lo'i li'yezeh v'avodata baruch hu. How much do you owe God as a recognition of this reality of being alive? He says, parents are a moshul, if you like, for that. Okay, you don't think your parents did the best job? Yeah, but use them as a step to get to how God runs the world. That's the first machshava point, that it's not really about the parents. And that's probably why Kibud Av V'Em is on the cusp, is the link between the Bein Adam L'Makom mitzvahs of the first side of the Luchot, all of the between people and God, and the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro mitzvahs on the second side. Kibud Av V'Em is the bridge. Because that has both of these important aspects. That's point number one. Point number two, often forgotten, is that there are at least two different types of halakha. One is chukim, and one is mishpatim. And if we look at number eight, the story of Mara, I'll skip straight to the end. If you know the story, they got to Mara, there was no water, the water was bitter, and Moshe throws a tree, because the tree is obviously a mashal for the tree of life, Eitz HaChaim, Torah, etc., will make the water sweet. What happens at the end of that? It says at the end, Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisam. There, God gave Moshe a chok and a mishpat. What is the difference between a chok and a mishpat? So look at the Mechilta, number 9. Chok ze Shabbat. The classic example of a chok is Shabbat. U'mishpat ze kibud av v'eim. And mishpat is kibud av v'eim. Now, we're often sort of put into this way of thinking that chukim are laws that we don't understand and mishpatim are laws that we do understand. That's sort of ingrained in our minds from when we're children. But that's not the only way to understand chukim and mishpatim. And if I'd have asked you, pick the ultimate chuk, you probably wouldn't have said Shabbat. You'd have thought Shabbat is, I get a lot of Shabbat, it makes so much sense. So clearly that's not the only definition we're working with. So what does this mean? So says the Maharal, number 10. Lama nikra kibud av v'eim mishpat. Why is our relationship with our parents halakhically called a mishpat? Aval davar zeh kemo she'amarnu. As we've said this before, we talked about this. Ki yediya v'haseichel mechayev mitzvah zot yoter mishar kol ha-mitzvot. The question is, how much seichel do you need? How much yediya do you need? A chok is a bunch of rules. It's a list of rules. You learn the rules, you do it. Some of them are detailed and complicated. But at the end of the day, one size fits all. Shabbat is Shabbat, whether you live in the 12th century. Okay, the technology might change. But Borer is Borer, whether you're living in 3rd century Yemen or 21st century Los Angeles. It's the same. You could get the Rambam to come here to Bet Knesset Hanasi and give a course in Hilchot Shabbat. He'd need a bit of an update on what's a microwave and what's a this and what's a that. But he'd pick it up pretty quickly. And it would be great. Kibud Av V'Eim is the opposite of that. A mishpat is a halacha where there are rules, yes, there are laws, but you need to have seichel. You need to apply them. You need to think, how does this relate to my parents? It's not some kind of list of objective, do this and you'll be great. A story that I heard from one of my Rosh Yeshiva, young man becomes a Baal Tshuva very quickly, what they call FFT, from Tuesday. Yeah, Monday was not from, Tuesday's from. Okay, and he does the whole thing. He jumps in. He's wearing the clothes and he doesn't know anything at all. But he does all everything. And of course, his parents think he's crazy. He looks weird. He talks to himself when he goes to the bathroom. He has strings coming out of his trousers. So his parents think he's crazy. So he's very upset that this newfound religion, this is a true story, is estranging him from his parents. So he asks his friends in yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, "What can I do?" He says, "Well, kibud av v'eim." What's that? Because look, kibud av v'eim. It's a whole books on the shelf. Learning, respecting your parents. He goes, "Oh, this is great." And he reads them and he thinks, "Wow, I'm going to do this for my parents. And then my parents are going to know how true Torah is." Because their friends who don't have kids who are balei tshuva, the kids treat them however they treat them. But I'm going to treat my parents like a Torah Jew treats his parents. And then they'll know the Torah is true. So what does this kid do? He goes back to America, to his secular American parents. And he read in the book, you have to speak respectfully. So he goes, okay, I'm going to do that. And he says, the most respectful way to speak is in the third person. So he says, great, I'm going to do that. So he goes home, he says, would mother like to sit down? Would father like a cup of coffee? And his parents are looking at him, saying that you're talking to us like a moron. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Well, you're bringing us into this stupid, like, nonsense? And he runs crying to the Rosh Yeshiva. What went wrong? I just did the halacha. And he says, yeah, that's what went wrong. You read Hilchas Kibud Av V'Eim as if it was Hilchas Shabbos or Hilchas Kashrus. rules to apply. It's not true. Parents and children are different. Every parent-child relationship is different. Parent-children in 2026 is so different from parent-children in 1126. You wouldn't allow people from the medieval period to speak about children and parents. It's a different world. Certainly, husbands and wives. I mean, that's even more so. Can you imagine bringing the Rambam to speak about the laws of what is a Jewish marriage? You wouldn't allow him to stand up. Oh, you have four wives, and one of them is 12, and one of them is 15, and one of them is like... No, yeah, but there's halachas. No, it's very much changed. And therefore, a mishpat, kibbutz avim is a mishpat. And that's the most important second point, which is that a person must never just treat their parents as if they are their fantasy parents. Oh, I wish my father was, I don't know, Rav Eliashiv, and my mother was Rabbanit Gemina Mizrahi. I don't know, whatever. Your parents are your parents. You can't treat them any differently. How do they want to be respected? How do they expect to be spoken to? And you have to have that level of seichel, says the Maharal. That's the second point. And that people do this wrong a lot. Number 11, the third point is perhaps even more interesting. Story from the Yerushalmi. Two stories. The first story is always taught in cheilis and primary schools, elementary schools. The second Torah story is never taught. But they're together in the Gemara. Imo shel Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon's mother, Yarda Latayel Latoch Hatsira b'Shabbat. She went for a spatzir walk in the yard on Shabbat. And the piece of information you need to know is her shoe broke, her sandal fell apart. So she's standing there, old Mrs. Rabbi Tarfon's mother, with one foot like in the air, where we're not wanting to put her feet on the mud. The halach Rabbi Tarfon goes out, the hiniach shtei yadav tachas parsoseh, he puts his hands under her feet. Okay, and she walks that on his hands all the way till she can get back to the couch. Beautiful, she doesn't get her feet dirty. Now, pam achat, it happened later on, chala, that he got sick. V'nichnasu chachamim levakro, and the chachamim came to visit him. Amra lehen, so she said to the rabbis, the mother, proud mother, Rabbi Tarfon, hitpalalu al Tarfon b'ni, please daven for Tarfon, my son, shehu noeg be covered yosemidai. He is the A1 superstar at Kibbutz Av Ha'Em. Please daven for him. So Amrula, they said to her, Ma'avid lech? What did he do that's so amazing? So Vitanya Slahem moved and she told him the story. Can you believe it? I walked on his hands across the garden. Amrula, they said to her, Afilu oisekein elef alafin. Even if he were to do a million times more than that, Adain lechetzi kabucha amra Torah loy higia. He didn't even reach half of what he needs to do for you. They weren't trying to put him down. They were trying to tell her, what he does is what you need. If that's what you need, that's what he has to do. That's what Kibbutz Av Ha'Em is. He needs to be responsive to your needs, and therefore that's Rabbi Tarfon. Everybody heard that story. But then the next story is a little bit stranger. Three lines from the bottom of 11. Imo shel Rabbi Yishmael, another mother, the mother of the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yishmael. Baba kibles aloi rabo seinu. Okay, she came to visit the yeshiva. She came to the rabbis, Amra lehem, and she said to them, "Giru be Yishmael bani, could you please critique my son Yishmael? She'ein anoyd b'kavod, because he doesn't treat me right." Okay, a little bit unfiltered, but sometimes older people are a little bit unfiltered. So they say to her, she says to them, he doesn't treat you right. But Issa Shara, that moment, this karkum upenei shel rabbeinu, they went pale. They didn't know what to do. The Rosh Yeshiva's mother is saying that he doesn't treat her right. Ama, they said, Efshar Rabbi Shmuel or Narg b'chavad avoisa. Is it possible Rabbi Shmuel is not treating his parents properly? Amara, they said to her, Ma'avid lech, what's your problem? What does he do that's not good? So Amra, she says to them, Kadu nafak mi beis vada. When he comes back to visit me at night from the bet vad, he's been in the yeshiva, my son the Rosh Yeshiva, I'm so proud of him. Ana boy le mishnez ragloi, I want to wash his feet. Umishde mehem, and drink the dirty feet water that I just washed his feet with. The lo shavikli, and he won't let me. Now, why does she want to wash his feet and drink the water? Because she's a bit strange, that's why, okay? And she's very proud of him, but this is not normal behavior. And he says to her, look, mum, I know you're very proud of me, your son's a Rosh Yeshiva, but I'm just not letting you drink the dirty feet water. It's not happening. It's just weird, okay? Amru Loisa, the rabbi, said to Rabbi Yishmael, Hail the Hurat Soina, if this is what she wants, Hu Kavoida, this is the way to honor her. Yes, she's weird. But no harm done. She's not going to get sick from it. It's just, okay, you wouldn't do that with your children, but fine. That's what, she's your mother. Let her do that. Now, this, why is this story brought? Because many people, especially teenagers, young people, think their parents are really weird, really strange. Okay? And you give them shirim on kibbutz av va'em, and they say, no, Rabbi, if you met my parents, you wouldn't believe what I need to deal with. Okay? And this story is there to tell you, if you think your mother's strange, there can't be as strange as Rabbi Ishmael's mother who wants to do, drink the dirty feed water, and say, if this is what she wants, this is what she gets. Therefore, the third point there is that you give them covered according to what they need, even if it's a bit strange. Now, there are lines, there are limits, and we'll look at those limits as we go through the shir, but those three points are very important. Okay, let's do the next bit quite quickly. The structure of the mitzvah of kibbutz av va'em is well known. There are two psukim, number 12, to give kavod. Now, kavod is from the word kaved. Kaved means heavy, and therefore we'll understand that kavod doesn't mean respect. It means to look after them. It's to carry the burden of what it means to care for them. So there it says to give kavod to your father and mother. And in 13 it says, ish imo va'aviv tirao, and to give yira, which is more the respect, to your mother and father. Why does it reverse the order? Top of page 3, kol hakodim b'mikra kodim b'masa. When the posuk gives a list and an order of things, that is the pecking order, says the Mechilta. The first has to come first. Talmud Loma, and that's why he now says, ish imoy va'avev tirao, and it reverses it. Magid, to teach you what? Sheshnehem shkulim zebazeh. Not to give preference to your father over your mother, or your mother over your father. It purposely lists them in the two mitzvahs in the opposite orders to tell you that there is no priority. Both of them need to be looked after now. Sometimes there has to be some kind of priority, but it can't be because one is the father and one is the mother. It has to be because of something else that they need based on their needs, and it can't be based on who they are. And similarly, the mitzvah is incumbent equally on the sons and the daughters. Look at number 15, says the Shulchan Aruch, Echad ha'ish, the Echad ha'isha, shavim b'kiva v'kavod b'moyrish shal av ve'ein. Men and women are equally obligated in this mitzvah of respect and care for their parents. Ela she'ha'ish she'ein b'yad la'asot. But, he says, the reality of marriage is such that women are sometimes, certainly in his times, and still to this day to some degree, restricted in what they can do for their parents because they're now living with their husband. They may be at the other side of the world. They may be away. Shehi meshubedet labala. She is in a position of connection to her husband where she owes him certain responsibilities too. Lefikach hi p'tura b'kibbutz av va'em ba'odo nesua. Therefore, she's exempted from at least certain aspects of kibbutz av va'em because of the conflict. Given a conflict between the parents and the husband comes first. Ve'im nisgarsha or nisarmana, ve'ish, she becomes single again, she's widowed or both have been divorced, chayevet, then it all comes back. Now, this is true, of course, today, and my mentors and guides have told me this, not just of women's relationships to their husbands, but men's relationships to their wives. Meaning, the point that's being brought out here is, given a clash between what your spouse needs and what your parents needs, the spouse has to have priority. And there are cases, indeed, in which the husband would like to be able to do things for his parents, and the spouse says, look, you know, I understand that, but we need you. I need you to do this, we need you to do that, and that has to be a very strong priority. So the spouse comes first. Also, what if the parents, you don't think the parents deserve it? And this opens up a really interesting sugya, a painful one as well. Look in the Shulchan Aruch number 16. Afilu haya aviv rosha ubala veirus. Even if the father was a rosha and did averus, mechabdo umityari mimena, they still have to do the mitzvah of kibbutz av va'em and yira. The Ramah comes in and says, v'yeshem de'ayin mechuyiv lechabed aviv rosha. But if they're really and truly a rosha, you do not have to do the mitzvah kibbutz av va'em, ela im kein asa tshuva, unless they repent and change. Now this raises two interesting questions. Who is a rosha? Okay, that's the first question. The two points on that I want to bring up are, first of all, many people today have parents who are not religiously observant. And the poskim deal with this at great length, and they say to a man that that's not called a rosha. Somebody who has no background, had no education, In halacha, they may be a tinok shenishba, meaning they never got the opportunity as a child to learn about what it means to be Jewish. Maybe they know, of course they know they're Jewish. They know that they're surrounded by Jewish people, but they don't have the mitzvah, they don't have the education in Torah and mitzvahs. That for sure is not a rosha, God forbid, and therefore a person has a full obligation to their parents, even if their parents are not observant. That's clear. The more difficult question is, what if the parents are abusive? And abusive is, of course, many different things. And many therapists have to deal with this issue, where there are children who are very tragically put into positions by parents who have abused them in different ways, verbally, emotionally, physically, sexually, God forbid. And what is their obligation to their parents? And it's pretty clear as well on this that they do not have any responsibility at all to be abused. They need to get themselves out of that position as soon as they can, because that parent is a rosha in this sense. Meaning they should know better, and they do know better. And maybe the parent also has a history, and maybe the parent was also abused as a child, and there's a strong chain of that. But that's not the point. The point is that this child who is being subject to this completely unacceptable behavior, they do not have an obligation in that sense to stand there and take it, God forbid. They need to be removed from it. And that will manifest in a million different ways. And no two cases are the same. No two parents are the same. No two kinds of abuse are the same. And certainly therapists who are from, who have taken Rav David Cohen has spoken about this on many occasions, that the therapists have to get the children to talk about what happened. That's not Lashon Hara, because it's for therapy for the child. It's not there to harm the parents, it's there to heal the child, and then to be able to remove them from any harm. Yes?
Kavod in Yir'ah, is there any chovah for ahava, loving a parent?
No. No, people love who they love. You have a mitzvah, ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, to everybody. Okay, some people will, obviously the people that you tend to have the closest relationship with are the people that you have the most emotional baggage with, and it goes in both directions. There's no specific mitzvah to love your husband or to love your wife. That's the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So most people will love their parents, but it's no broader in that sense than v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, which itself is very broad. Okay, fine. So we could give a whole shir on the issue of child abuse, God forbid, but it's very important to understand that the child is not expected and should not be receiving when they could be removed from that. Now, let's talk about what the two mitzvahs are. Very interesting points to make here. Number 17. Eze mora, what does it mean to have respect for your parents? Lo yama b'mekoymoi. Don't stand in their place. Let's say your father is a judge, or your mother, a respected person, they have a certain place where they stand to lecture, whatever. You can't stand there. You can't be in your parents' place. Or a place where they daven in shul. If it's your father or mother's place, you can't be in that place. Of course, in all of these, the parents can give and are encouraged to give mechila. But without that mechila, you can't do that. If your parents have a specific chair, doesn't mean they have to have one, but let's say they do, the child can't sit in that chair. The child can't be contradictory and contradict the parent. And he can't agree with the parent in front of him. Even to say, Niran divrei abba, my father is right. What's going on here? This is where the seichel comes in. Because if people treat that this like chukim, they'll say, well, I don't know, what does this mean? You can't agree with your parents. No, the point is that there are cases when disagreeing with your parents is chutzpedik, and there are cases when it's fine. Use your seichel. If you're having a discussion about who knows what, politics, this, halacha, and the parents expect a robust conversation with the children, then they want the children to express their opinions. Disagreeing is in a chutzpedik way. Even agreeing can be chutzpedik. The parent, the father's having an argument with someone, and the child walks in and says, listen, my father's right, that's the end of the story. Oh, no, now you've said everything's fine. Now you've walked in. No, that's a chutzpah. Who do you think you are to be saying that your parents are right in a way that as if you are the machriya, you are making the final call? That can also be a chutzpah. Of course, to say your parents are right on many other things is not. There's a context. Lo yikrenu b'shmoi, you can't call them by their first name. Lo b'chaya v'lo b'moise, not when they're alive and not after they pass away. Ela oimer, but you have to say Abba Mori. Now the question, of course, is what do you do if your parents are, 70s children and they say, I insist you call us Bob and Sheila because mom and dad is repressive and colonial, or whoever knows what they think it is. And your parents want you to call them Bob and Sheila. And what's even more, your mom's called Bob and your dad's called Sheila. Yeah? And you know, this is the reality that we live in the world we live in. So the answer is, you can't disrespect your parents by doing the laws of kibbutz avei aim. You have to tell them, look, you know, it puts me in a difficult position. I don't feel comfortable doing this, but if this is what you really, really want, then okay, this is what you really, really want. Then the Gemara goes to the Shulchan Aruch. Hay Hashem Avid Kashem Acherim. What if your dad or mom, but here it says dad, it's always the same either way, has a name that other people have. Meshanish Shmam, you have to change your friend's name. Im hu shem shehu pipalai, peli, if it's a weird name. She'ein hakol ragilim likrosboy. Your dad's called Colonimus. And you have a friend called Colonimus. So you can't call your friend Colonimus. Because if you say the word Colonimus, then people say, who's talking about his dad? I mean, who else is called that? And they don't realize the friend is the one they... So you have to call your friend something else. I mean, Kalman, the word Kalman is from Colonimus. So that's interesting. But if he has a normal name, Aval Shem Sheregilim Boy, but a name people are used to hearing, Moshe. Your dad's called Moshe, and your friend's called Moshe. So there's no such thing as you can't say Moshe, because if you say Moshe, no one's going to think he's talking about his dad, unless your dad's there, Shaloi Bafanov. Because if your father's present, and you shout out Moshe, then maybe people, then your dad will turn around. Who's shouting Moshe? And it's like, you're calling me Moshe? So that's the halacha brought down. Yes?
Does the same apply to in-laws?
No, we'll see in-laws later. We'll see in-laws is a different halacha. There's a din of covered but not yira, and therefore in-laws, whatever they want you to call them, is 100% fine. With in-laws, it's very difficult. I know many people, myself included, who never quite worked out what to call their in-laws. And you're grateful when the children are born, you can call them Saba or Grandpa or Zayda, because Baruch Hashem, now I don't know, you know, I'm out of that problem. So I have that problem. So, yes.
Right, I just want to say, a Maaseh Shehaya, we live in Har Nof on Rechov Zerach Barnet.
Yes.
And a former neighbor of ours, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Haftig, his father was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence in Israel.
Okay.
Dr.
And his name was Zerach Bar Haftig.
He had an issue. But someone okay. asked, where do you live? What would he say? On Rechov Zerach?
Okay.
So he actually came up with another piece of it.
That's interesting. Interesting, okay. And that's the name Zerach, which is a very unusual name, which is why, because if you were on Moshe Pipik Street, then you wouldn't care because everyone's called Moshe. Let me just go on for a little bit. Number 18. Shalu et Rabbi Eliezer. So they had, Ad heichen kibud avaim. How far does this mitzvah really go? So Amalehem said, Tzuru ma'asa oivit kachavim echad la'avad shuba Ashkelon. Look at the story, this famous story of this non-Jew living in Ashkelon. V'dama ben Nesina Shmoy, called Dama ben Nesina. Bikshim emene chachamim avanim leifoy, b'shishim ribu yischar, a very famous story, number 18. The chachamim wanted to buy a stone, he had a gemstone that he needed for the ephod, and they were prepared to pay him 600,000 gold coins. V'rav kahana masni b'shmoinim ribu. Maybe it was 800,000 gold coins. V'haya mafteach munach tachet merushosav shal aviv, and the key to the safe where he kept the gem was under his parents, under his father's head, and he was sleeping, the loyd sirah, and he wouldn't wake him up. He wouldn't wake him up. And he didn't get the money because he wouldn't wake him up. God gave him a reward the next year. He had a para aduma in his flock, in his herd. Nichnasu Chachmei Yisrael Ezra, and the Chachamim went about the Paraduma and Amalehem, and he said to them, very straight guy, Yodea ani bechem, I know you, you rabbis, she'im ani mevakish mechem, kol mam sheba oilem atem, noitimli, you pay anything for a Paraduma, it's so precious, ela ein ani mevakish mechem, ela oisem mamen, she'isatzi bishvil kibud abba. I'm only going to get the money, I'm only going to ask for the money that I lost, because I didn't wake up my father. Va'amar abchininu, umar mi she'enu mitzuva ba'oiseh, just as a non-Jew has no mitzvah of kibud av ha'eim from the Torah, kach, this is what they get. Mitzvah v'aisa, a Jew who has the mitzvah, al achas kama v'kama. Now what are we learning? Why are we learning mitzvahs from non-Jews in Ashkelon? It's a very strange thing. So some of them are fortunately connected to Esav, because the one mitzvah, this was Edom, he was Roman, the one mitzvah that Esav really did well was kibud av. But also, you know, do we learn halacha from this? Let me ask you a question. Let's say somebody comes to the door and says to the kid answers the door, said, oh, your father's won the lottery. Oh, wow, he just needs to sign on this form and he'll get $5 million. Oh, no, my father's asleep, I'm really sorry. So wake him up. No, kibbutz av ha'eim, I can't wake up your parents. So after the father wakes up, you say, Lucky, it's a shame because you were sleeping because the guy came with $5 million and now he said he's going to give it to the next person. I mean, someone's going to do that. The parent's going to beat the guy up. Of course you want to, you have to wake me up. Again, you have to use your seichel. No, and I'm not even sure that Dhamma ben Asina had any seichel in this sense. So we're not learning technical halachas. We're learning, you know, to the extent that your parents really don't want something to happen, you have to be aware of that. And then we learn another interesting halacha of this this particular man, Dhamma ben Asina, and his mother, not just his father. He asked a Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, he told us, in Bavel, he's from Eretz Yisrael, Pam achas hayalavush sirkin shel zahav. This Dhamma ben Asina was a Roman official. He was wearing his beautiful clothes. The high Yoshe ben Gedoli Romi, and he was sitting with the, you know, the Senate with all the Roman greats. Ubasa imoy, and his mother came along. The karsim imenish, she ripped his clothes off. Tapchaloy al roshe, she smacked him on the head. The yarkaloy bafanavish, she spat in his face. Valoy chlima, and he didn't say anything to her. Why did she do this? Tosfos says, because she never, she was, she had dementia. She didn't know what she was doing, and this was her matzav, and he didn't say anything. This is a very important point, because the mother was sick at this point, and of course, what are you going to do to her? She's sick, it's nebach. But if the mother was not sick, and this is how she behaves, then who says you have to stand there and take this from a parent? Yes.
So why should you use your seichel for $5 million, but not in this situation?
No, he did use his seichel. Meaning, what would you do
if his mother, if she was like, hey, do you want to do this?
I don't know, that's a good question. But what's he going to do? That's a good question, how this works. But the point that Tosfos is making is that this is a person who is sick. This is not a normal case. And the Shulchan Aruch is going to bring here, what does one do in a situation where parents have Alzheimer's dementia to the point that it's very, very painful to be with them because they're not themselves? This is a very common occurrence. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch talks about this. But either way, it's not clear what we're learning l'halacha from this case of Dhamma ben Asina, but there is, apparently, if it really requires it, extreme cases that if the father really doesn't want to be woken up, then there's nothing that you can do. That's the issue of Moira. Okay, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, number 19, at Heichan Moirim, Ahaya Aben Lofesh Chamudois, V'yoshiv Barosh HaKal, Ubao Avi V'ima V'kari B'gadav V'hikau Al Roshah V'yarek B'fanav, and he brings that halacha down. I'm not getting more into this now. The Ramah adds that if you're using your parents' name, you can just add a Mr. or a Mrs. or a whatever they are, or my father, and that makes it fine. People calling up in the business to speak to their father, they don't call up and say, hi, can I speak to John? Because, you know, that's your father's name, so can I speak to my father, John, or whatever. Rav Yosef, who was blind, the number 21. Rav Yosef, ki hava shama kol kara de'ime. When he heard his mother's footsteps coming towards him, Amma, he said, Eikam mikamish shchina da'asi. My mother is the shchina. I'm getting up in front of the shchina. And that is extremely important. Like I said at the beginning, when I said that in the world of Kabbalah, the parent-child relationship is very important, this is actually not just an exaggeration. He thinks his mother's the Shechina. No, on a certain level, the Shechina represents everybody's mother. It's a relationship with the Shechina, with Malchus, a relationship with Bina, as an even higher mother. And therefore, he treats his own mother as an extension, if you like, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is exactly the point that the Sefer HaChinuch was making at the very beginning. And therefore, there is a mitzvah to get up in front of parents. But again, with Seichel, number 22, you have to get up in front of your parents. But what if the father is the Talmud and the son is the Rav? Then everyone has to get, each one has to get up in front of the other. Now this obviously brings you into a slightly awkward situation. Because what are you going to do? He wants to get up in front of him, he wants to get up in front of him. And the Ramah, I didn't bring it on the sheet, I should have brought it down. The Ramah brings down, and in that situation, maybe the best thing you can do is not live too close to your parents, because you're going to get into this trouble, because the Rav wants to stand up for the son who's, the father rather wants to stand up for the son who's the rabbi, and the rabbi wants to stand up for his father who's an Amah Aretz, whatever. And then he says, and this is the story of the Maharam of Rottenburg. It's interesting, he doesn't give historical tidbits in the Shulchan Aruch very often. But the Ramah adds, and this is what happened when the Maram of Rottenburg was appointed to the Rav. So he made sure that he lived in a different town from his father, because he didn't want to have a situation where he was getting up for him and he was getting up for him. And which is actually interesting, because you might have said, well, really? I mean, your father now lives in another town. So you have to just bear this in mind. It obviously worked well for them, etc. There is an interesting question, by the way, in the Chumash. Why is Yosef not in touch with his father. All the time that he's living in Egypt, he's been waiting to see his father. His father's now there. And when the father's sick, someone has to come and tell him. They have to get a shaliach to say, your father's sick. Boy, he doesn't know his father's sick. He never goes to visit. And the Mefarshim all want to talk about this and give different ideas. One of the ideas being he didn't want to get into difficult conversations with him about what happened and how to get to Egypt. But there are other ways to understand that. That's not for now. So that's Yira. That's respect. Not calling them by their name, not contradicting them, standing up. And again, standing up has to be done with seichel. You know, you can't have someone, if the parents are going to think it's weird, they stand up to attention in the morning, you know, when they get up. It has to be done in a way that looks holistic, who looks joined up, doesn't look strange, but the person has to get up, at least in the morning, in the evening, whatever, for their parents. Fine. What about covered? And this is where we're going to get into a very interesting question, which is, where is the line between respecting parents and personal autonomy? What if my parents ask me to do things which I really find very, very difficult and painful and personal? So we'll see what that means right now. Eizeh kavod, says the Shulchan Aruch 23. Okay, so yira is respect. What is kavod? This is care. As I said, bearing the burden of caring for parents. Ma'achilo, making sure they have food. Mashkeu, making sure they have to drink. Maldish u'machse, to have clothes, to have bed linen, whatever they need. Machnis, you bring them in the house. Moitzi, you take them out, you take them to the hospital, you take them to the doctor, you take them to wherever they're going. The yitnenoloi, and that's all very well, and this is the hard part, the yitnenoloi b'seva panim yafos, and you have to do it with a smile. You know, schlepping around for parents is not as hard as doing it and not getting grumpy. Because it's often, you know, parents are often unreasonable, and that's the hard point. And it expresses this, one of the reasons why it's the hardest mitzvah, because there has to be a seva panim yafos in situations which are often difficult. 24, I brought down the halacha that I mentioned, if the parent has dementia to the point that the child can no longer look after them, so the child's obligation is not to necessarily personally look after them, but to make sure that they are looked after. And this is very difficult often when people are living across the other side of the world from parents. I had a conversation yesterday with somebody whose mother's unfortunately very sick, and this student has a life in Israel, and the question is, do they leave Israel for a year, for 2 years, how long it takes to care for the parents? They've made a whole life for themselves here, but these are very difficult situations. It's not always easy to just get up and run, and people have to definitely bear this in mind. Which I therefore want to get into this central question, which is, where do we draw the line? So let's look at this night now. Look at 26. The Chazon Ish has a question. The Ritzayin Azeh Kuba, didn't we say that what they want is what they get? If you have a slightly strange mother that wants to drink the dirty feet water, you have to let her do that. Ve'im ha'av roitzeh b'takanas b'noyim. But what happens if the father wants certain behavior from the son? Umitzta'er, and the parents are upset, because she'noyse isha she'en l'rotzon ha'av. He's marrying a woman that the parents don't like. Has that ever happened? As happens. Okay. Lama yehei shai letzara. Why do we paskin, and we do, that the person can marry this woman, he's in love with this woman, they're a good shidduch for each other, and even if the parents are crying themselves to sleep every night, I can't believe that he married that girl, or she married that guy, he's allowed to do that. Why is that okay? Lama yehei reshai letzara ve'enu b'chlal moira. Why is that not included in the obligation not to disrespect your parents? Lama davar zeh kal misoy sedvarav. You're not allowed to contradict them. Your father says yes, you said no, that's wrong. Oh, that's a Torah prohibition. But your father doesn't want you to marry a woman, and you say, I'm sorry, Dad, she's the woman we're going to marry. And for years and years, your parents are in terrible emotional pain. That you're allowed to do? Yes, that you are allowed to do. Why? Why is that okay? So says the Gemara number 27. And here's the answer. Iboilu, they asked the question. Michelle, me. Who has to pay? Who has to pay for the covered? Covered meaning the care home. The carer, the money that it takes to look after the parent. Michelle me. Rav Yehuda Amar Michelle Ben. It's the child's mitzvah. Rav Nosson Bar Oshi Amar Michelle Av. No, it's the parents' money that goes into it. Meaning, what if the parents are millionaires and they say to the child, okay, you know, I need to be looked after. I need to go into a care facility. It's going to cost $20,000 a month. But we're giving all our money to Bet Knesset Hanasi. For a new, roof extension or whatever. And we're going to give that money away. We expect you to pay for this because it's your mitzvah. So what's the child going to say? So one view says, yep, yeah, you're right, it's the child's mitzvah, they're going to have to make it work. And the other view is, no, you've got money, you need a carer, your money has to pay. It's not my money, okay, it's my mitzvah, but it's your money. So who do we paskin like? Orelei Rabbanan le Rav Yirmiya, the rabbis paskin to Rav Yirmiya, the Amrilei le Breda Rav Yirmiya. Wonder if we got into this, Rav Yirmiya's son, Kamanda Amma Michel of, it's the parents' money pays. Meisvei, don't we have a problem with this? Doesn't it say, Kaved Zavicha Vesemecha? You have to give Kavod to your parents to look after them. The Neiman, it says, Kaved it's Hashem Mihonecha. You have to give Kavod to Hashem with your money. Mala Halam B'chisron Kis, just as giving Hashem Kavod with money costs you money, Afkan B'chisron Kis, why is parents, looking after parents any different? It should cost you money. The Iyam Rishal Afin, if you say you're using the father's money, the parents' money, my Nafka Leimine, what are you giving? What are you giving if your parents are giving the money? Says the Gemara, lebitl malacha. You're giving time. You're putting time in. Time that you might have been doing this, time that you might have been doing that. You don't have to use your bank account savings to pay for the care home, but you have to give up the time and the opportunity cost of other things. Okay? And that is the halacha. Look in the Rambam 28. Ezehu chavod, what is kavod? Looking after the parents, says the Rambam. Machil, mashke, malbish, umachase, mishel, ha'av. From the parents' money. That's the halacha. That's easy in conceptually. But how are we going to apply that to yira? Meaning, my obligation to respect my parents' wishes. Is that mishel av or mishel ben? Now, there we're not talking about money. It's not just a dollars and cents issue. It's not paying a bill. It's my parents expect this behavior, but it's going to actually cost me in some kind of significant way. Have a look at what this halacha says in 29. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that it's the parents' money for kavod, and then in halacha chet, he says as follows, 29 second line. Ad heichen kibud avayim, how far does it go? Afilu natla kishal zehuvin shaloi. If the parents either steal the son's money, befanav, in front of them, and throw it, v'hishlichu befanav liyam, and throw the son's money into the sea. Lo yachlimon, you're not allowed to upset them. Lo yitzar b'fnehim, you can't get angry in front of them. Lo yichos, connect them, you can't be irritated with them. Al yikabu gezeres akos of yishtok. You have to take it. They pulled your money, they throw it in the sea. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Ramah, and by the way, the Sfaradim, also paskin like this Ramah, not like the Bet Yosef. The Ramah says, no. There is a limit. The yesh omrim, there is a view, as I say, is the halacha paskin by all poskim. The im roitzel is rock mal shel ben liam. That if they're trying to throw your money away, the yachel lemoina, you can stop them. You can say no. This sorry, you can't take that. The ha'enu chayv lechabdo rak mishalab, because your obligation of looking after them is with their money. Avalom mishal ben. The ein chiluk ben lechabda o letzaro, and there's no difference between kavod and yira. Both mitzvahs are done, says the Ramah, with quotes and quotes their money, meaning they may ask you to do something which is irritating. Okay, you do it. They're your parents. You think it's weird, so you do it. Your mother buys you a sweater and you think it looks terrible. When your mother comes around, she likes you to wear it, so you wear it. What difference does it make? But your parents ask you to do something which crosses a line. You need to marry this man. You need to marry this woman. No. We're not talking about a sweater that I don't like. We're talking about my whole life. I'm giving away my whole life because of what you want for me. You can't do that. That's not called Michelle Av. That's called Michelle Ben. And therefore he gives a few examples. We'll see in a minute. But after Kodem Shizakam, it's only before they throw your money in the sea. You could stop them. Aval in kfar zarku. If they've already thrown your money into the sea, well, what can you do? Asala achlimo. You can't get angry with them. Aval yochel atavu ledina. You could take them to base then. You know, your parents want to go joyriding in your new car. You know, that's not okay. Vadafke im roisel is rok kisol yam. And that's only if they want to throw his money into the sea. The east bay kisol kis. Aval im roisel ahar vim mamon reva ba'am. If they want to take away his potential profits, that he has to give up. And by the way, they can throw their own money into the sea. You know, your parents have got millions and billions, and you think, well, you know, I'd may have an Esrim, but that's going to come in very handy. And your parents say, no, actually, we're going to go for the rest of the next 20 years on what they call ski holidays. Yeah? Spending the kids' inheritance. Okay? Ski holidays. So yeah, the answer is, it's your money. Okay, it's your money. You can do what you like with your money. You know, you can't steal the kids' money, but you can do what you like with your own money. And therefore, this is applied in many different scenarios. Look at the Maharik, Rav Yosef Kolon, 30. Ashenista Pakta, he's asking a Shaila, he's answering a Shaila in the 15th century France. You had a question. Im yesh koch b'yad ha'av limchois b'yad b'noi, lisa isha asher yechpod b'ha ben, can the father stop the child from marrying who the child wants to marry? Meaning, if the woman is, or the man is a suitable spouse, meaning it's just the parents' problem, but there's nothing wrong with this person. The parents have a hang-up. They say, we're Hasidish, you can only marry a Hasidish. But this is a beautiful young man, beautiful young woman, fine midas, but that's not Hasidish. Or we won't let you marry someone who's modern or Haredi or whatever. So the parents don't have a right to say that. But if the person you're trying to marry is objectively ridiculous, you met a guy on death row in Texas, you know, and you're in a correspondence, and you say, look, he's very misunderstood, and there are reasons why he killed his first wife, and like he's really a sweetheart. Okay, so then the parents obviously can turn around and say, you're out of your mind, okay? But if there's no reason why the shidduch is not a good shidduch, she'ein koch b'yad ha'av limchod b'yad ha'ben, the parents can't ask that from the child. Chada, number one, da'afilu le'inyan mamon, even when it comes to money, the care home costs, oydei le'rabbanon le'rabbi Yirmiyah, the rabbis agreed to paskin to Rabbi Yirmiyah, kamanda amam mishalav, it's the parents' money that's used. V'chein pasku kol poski ha'alachas ha'shariti. And that's what I've seen in every plaque. It's the parents' money for covered. Kol shekein hacha. All the more so here when it's not just money you're giving up. Shehudava hashaych betzara degufoy. You're going to marry a person that you don't have a relationship with. Lahaniach isha shechafatzba. To leave the woman you love. V'itzdarach lekachat isha acheret. And to have to marry another person. Ashelotti yashebein hakolkach. He's not being a romantic here. He's saying that you can't give up your life's happiness because your parents are not happy. It's their problem. It's not your problem. You've crossed that line. They're asking you to give up something which is too much. That's called Michel Ben. So too, there are moral rules in 31. The Cheni Mama Av Moiche Beben. If the father doesn't want the child to marry, Lisa Eze Ish Shiach Batza Ben. Ein Atzorek Lishma El Av. He doesn't have to listen to the father. Another one. Number 32. Amaloi Aviv La'avor Al Divrei Torah. The parents tell the children to do an aveira, to break a mitzvah. Bein mitzvahs asay, bein mitzvahs loy shas asay, ta'afilu mitzvah shal divrayim, loy yishma loy. The parents say, turn on the lights, please, on Shabbos. The child can say, no, I'm not breaking Shabbos. We're your parents. Don't disrespect us. No, you can't take away my olam haba. You can't take away my relationship with Torah mitzvahs. That's not wearing a weird sweater. That's something much more fundamental. They do not have to listen. Another interesting example, Ha'av Tziva Espino, 33, the father commands the child, Shalo Yadaber Imploini, we don't speak to that person. Okay? V'shalo Yimchaloi, and we don't forgive that person. V'haben Hayarotse Lehipayes, and the son wants to make Shalom. Okay? Miyad, immediately. Lule Tzavas Ha'av. Even though the father says no, Ein Lo Lachush Letzavaso, you don't listen to the father. Ah, the parents say, we don't speak to great uncle Shmuel. Why? He looks very nice. Oh, you don't know what he did in 1955 to your grandfather. You know, we've all had those stories, you know. The answer is, I'm sorry, you can't command me to perpetuate broigus. Obviously, you're not going to run up to great Uncle Shmuel in front of your parents and kiss him and hug him. You have to have your seichel. But you can't perpetuate that. That's not okay. Number 34. Talmud Torah gadol mekibud av ha'eim. Talmud Torah trumps kibud av ha'eim. 35. Talmud shirotzel alechad lemakom acher. A Talmud who wants to go to a certain place. Shehu boiteach sheyira simon bracha. They're convinced that they will be successful with Talmud in learning. Lifnei Rav Shasham. And there's a great yeshiva there. Va'aviv moicheloi boi. And the father says, no, you can't go. Why? The fish are dying. They're worried about them. There are dangerous non-Jews there. There are people who are, you know, blow up buses and who knows what. Nevertheless, he doesn't have to listen to the parents. Doesn't have to listen to the parents. And this is time and time again you see this. Young people who say, my parents won't let me come to Israel for a year to learn Torah. They say, if you want to learn, go to Brooklyn. There are yeshivas in America. The parent says, yeah, but the yeshiva I need to go to in Israel is in Israel to yeshiva. And the parents say, I'm sorry, you can't go. That is not something the son or the daughter has to listen to. Now, the parents might turn around and say, we're not paying. Which they have every right to say. They have no halakhic obligation to pay for a year of gap year programming. And maybe the child has to raise money. And I've had those cases as well. But the child can nevertheless go. That's very clear. And we've had situations where they say you can go to Israel, but you can't go on the buses. You can only take a taxi. And you say to the parents, yeah, but the most of the taxes where I am are Arab taxes. You prefer to do that or to go on the bus? No, the buses are dangerous. Taxis are fine. The parents are clueless. They don't really know what's going on. So there's the questions as to how far do you need to do what they say. Are they paying for the taxes, etc.? Just in the last minute or two, I want you to just look at a couple of things on the bottom. You can see this for yourself. I put here other relatives. Kabeid et imecha, avicha, the et imecha. The et comes to include the step-parents. Therefore, there is an obligation of covered, of looking after step-parents, certainly while the natural parent is alive. Okay, but that's not one of yira, it's one of covered. It's a different responsibility. You can't let them just, you know, be without what the basic things they need. And even after the natural parent has died, there is a midah to do that as well. I brought you the famous sources, even older siblings may be included to some degree. Obviously, it's not the same as parents. And older siblings, yeah, and in older sibling, well, older brother, okay, but I don't know if it's different with girls at this particular point. It's not because
older brother,
yes, but it doesn't. You're not to the same degree. It's not the din of yira. It's a different. It's a different halacha. And also parents in law, in-laws. We learn that from Moshe and Yisro. There's a din of covered for in-laws. But again, not yira. There's no halacha that you can't sit in their place or call them their name, etc. It's covered. It's when they need you. When the sibling needs you, you can't say, I'm not, you know, they can look after themselves. No, if you need them, you have to be there to some degree, and therefore that's ruled as well. So hopefully that brings us into a lot of modern-day scenarios, interesting scenarios, and we will move on next week. We have three, I think, more sessions, maybe four more sessions before Tisha B'Av, where we'll break for Elul. In Elul, we'll move on to completely new material, Be'ezrat Hashem. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you then.
In Japan, when you say goodbye to somebody, you bow.